Good morning, guys. You all good? I woke up at 4:15. I was wide awake. I never went back to sleep. I felt like I was to pray about a few things, and I thought, must have prayed long enough. He talks that computer stuff, and I don't ever get the interpretation. He was talking that MSG.com, and I'm like, oh, that must be a site or something. He was saying, I was like, SMSM, whatever he was saying all this stuff, and I'm like, I'm looking around, I'm like, why am I so confused? What is he saying? And then I realized it was computer language, because I was kind of like half in and out. I was talking back here, and I was like, is Regis okay? Because everything he was saying made no sense to me. And all of a sudden, I realized he was talking your language. Wasn't talking mine. I was lost, man. So we're going to pray this morning for understanding again. Now, I am going to read something. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to do something and respond. I actually was laying in my bed real early, and I felt like the Lord showed me something about today, so we're going to do it. I just trust it's God. You know, there's a lot of, we're saying a lot. These sessions are kind of long. They don't sound long, but when you're here, a lot comes out. We're pretty much on the roll from the time we start and take that little break. Don't feel like you have to grab everything that's being said. Thank God that He's sowing seed into you. Certain things will come alive in you. Certain things will be more relevant, prevalent to your life than other things. You have to realize there's a whole group of hungry folks right here. Okay? And we're all kind of, some of us see things that others don't. Some don't, you know, there's just a lot of different, we're in different places. And I really believe the grace of God will just go, I really do. I believe the grace of God will just, and that's why I said to stay patient and to bear with, you know, with us and with everybody in these classes, because there might be a whole half hour that just feels like a total repeat to you, that you see it, it's yours, it's your reality, and you might wonder why. Just stay refreshed. It's not tedious to write the same things Paul said over and over. But there might be somebody across from you that's going, huh, yeah, oh my goodness, I get that. And you might already have that, but it's for them. There's just different things. You know, 20 minutes later, you might be going ding, 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 and it might not be necessarily ringing off in them. So that's how this probably whole 13 weeks will flow. But, you know, Peter, even in 2 Peter 1, after he goes through this incredible, it is one of my favorite sections, because it actually says if you add things to your faith, you'll never stumble. Isn't that amazing? Some of us think we stumble just by getting out of bed. And Peter said you'll never stumble. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Stumble, actually, some uses of the word means cause to be offended, or the cause to for offense. But Peter said you'll never stumble. He said if you don't add these things to your faith, you're short-sighted and you forget you've been cleansed of your old sins. Isn't that amazing? So the only thing that keeps you from adding those things to your faith is you're stumbling over an old identity and sin consciousness. That makes it pretty clear-cut and simple. Why do we talk so much about identity and God loving us and righteousness? Please don't get tired of that. I was just John and I were driving in this morning together, and for one thing, Angelo didn't think that was fair. I'm so funny messing with you. I said, buddy, if you'd live right down the street from me, you'd be in my truck. And I just go right pretty much by where John is, so I told him why. Because I told Todd I'd pick up Destiny because she's on the way, but for now, she's not here. I said, I'll grab you and we'll see what works out down the road. But I was talking to him about how I used to teach on gifts and supernatural stuff, healings a whole lot, just because there's a lot of misunderstanding in the body of Christ, and there's a lot of need, and there's a lot of sickness. And I've had a mandate for way over a year now in my heart to just pound identity. When I travel, I see every bit as much, if not more, healings take place corporately when we pray in congregations. And sometimes I don't even talk about praying for the sick. It's amazing. Because there's just a faith that releases. I might share a little bit of why we can believe for healing, but it's amazing how it's just in the room when we're talking His righteousness, forgiveness of sin. the grace of God on us. It's amazing how I've seen actually a bunch of, I don't even talk about it a lot. I'm careful to sometimes because it's a corporate thing. We're the body of Christ. And here's the deal. If I can preach on identity and that can become our reality, we'll walk in a whole lot deeper spiritual, supernatural revealed place than we've ever walked. And we'll realize that that's already in our heart. It's already in our spirit. And it won't be like just certain people that are moving in healing or gifted is what we think. We all have the kingdom. Every one of us has the right to lay hands on the sick. And that's not taught and agreed on in the body of Christ a whole lot. And I understand there's gifts, and I'm not getting into that today. I really not. I understand there's a gift of healing and could take the time to explain the difference and how it works. But I'm letting you know the Bible says clear the sign follows the believer. The clearer you see yourself through Christ, the belief in that realm is automatic because you see clear who you've become. You follow what I'm saying? So that's why we're going to camp a whole lot on identity and love and what it means to be loved and become love. And because they're the things that are going to keep your conscience crystal clear. When your conscience gets violated, when you do anything against your conscience, you gray yourself out from drawing close and being loved and seeing yourself as lovable. So it's very important to follow the convictions that are working in your heart. And some are more than others. Some people have more understanding in areas. That's why I don't preach on, I just preach a clear gospel. I don't preach on, did you ever notice, who's ever heard me preach on, well, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this. I never preach that. Because those things should become your own conviction in your growing in God and your relationship. They become your reality. Then it's never, I need to, have to, ought to, well, I shouldn't be doing that. Because that's where condemnation comes from. We were talking about, I said, I'm aware of a lady that for a whole year, she taught a Bible study with a cigarette in her hand. Seriously, see how people chuckle and laugh? She didn't chuckle and laugh. That was totally, she was in love with Jesus. She just didn't have a, she didn't have a revelation that there was anything wrong. And it was a lot of street folks, a lot of people that were coming out of drug life. She'd just sit there and she's smoking. They're all sitting in the circle, smoking, reading their Bible, praying with all their heart. So she's fine with that. She didn't have a violation of conscience. She was totally innocent in that. And it's amazing how because she was innocent in that and didn't have a conviction and didn't have a knowledge of anything, she just thought, well, what's wrong with that? As just like a child, well, what would be wrong with that? It's amazing how that, because there was innocence, it didn't bother a thing. The Spirit of God was actually touching people. People were getting saved. People were coming off the street and getting right with God. But after about a year, seeking God, and he was drawing her into deeper places of prayer and intimacy and communion. And she wasn't like covered by a local church and a cell leader in a church where somebody maybe would have sat down and said, you know, did you ever consider da 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 da? But even then, it just becomes your knowledge. Wow, I probably shouldn't be doing that. But through your relationship, you don't have a strong conviction to change that. You just feel like, wow, I shouldn't be doing that. And it's harder to stop things that way. Here's what happened to her. She got alone in a bedroom. She was seeking God in a deeper place than she had normally been. She entered into a deeper place after a year of just, and all of a sudden she went and saw it through him in a way where her conscience said, you know, I don't think I need to be doing that. Huh? And then she started talking and, huh? And she just put it away. That's like beautiful to me. But the church doesn't understand that sometimes. I'm not saying if I was a pastor and she was doing that, I would have been just cool with that. But I would have talked to her and I would have imparted identity, prayed with her and shared with her probably some stuff. The reason a lot of us laughed, I would have brought that into a light of truth and trusted grace on it. But here's my point. She was totally innocent. Had no violation of conscience, so there was nothing to condemn her. But as soon as in her relationship with God, it grew to a place where she thought twice about it, she yielded to that and went, whoa, and in her love relationship with God, there was a grace to just put it away. So then she didn't struggle with it, and it wasn't like, but there was a time in her life where she just grew up into him in that area and said, whoa. Do you see how clean that is? So it shows you there's something there, and there's something about the innocence of heart. Isn't it amazing that while she was doing that, her heart was just as innocent, as free as probably most people, maybe more than most people. because she didn't think twice about it. And it's amazing how God would respond to her heart because it was faith and innocence. So I don't know, just a neat point. So don't violate your conscience in areas as you're growing in God and in relationship, because the whole purpose of drawing close to Him is to walking in the light, right? So when you walk in the light, as He's in the light, all of a sudden you see things through Him, and there might be little areas in your life where you start realizing that's probably not edifying. Man, that might not even be setting a good example. That's probably not the most productive way to think, or the way to whatever it might be. When you get those little convictions, thank God for them, yield to them, to that is true, and begin to walk that out. And you see what I'm saying? Because if not, you'll go, you'll gray zone. You kind of like, you want to go this way, but this thing's there, and it just keeps you from the place your heart's crying to be. So love yourself enough to follow your conscience, okay? Just a little side note, just kicking off with that. But I want to take a minute and enter in. I want to give you guys, I know you're close together and you're tight here, but you can still release and express your heart in this. I'm not going to preach this. We read it yesterday. We're going to just pick up where I left. I feel like I just want to read to this one verse. And remember yesterday we were reading Proverbs 2? Remember how it said, cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding? Remember how I said when we do that, we don't do that because of what we don't have. We do that because of what we're growing in and what we believe is available. It's always encouraging. It's never condemnation. So when you see God in somebody's life, don't weigh that in the mirror in the way that it exposes what's not in your life. Like, you know, some, we went through that. I'm just rehashing a little. Some people hear a message and go, boy, I'm a million miles away from where I need to be. And they hear a message that's intended to bring life in an ear that suppresses, condemns, and presses down. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. That is a lie. That is a lie. That is a trap. Okay? If you're doing that, if you're hearing a message that's intended to give life and you're getting disheartened, you're just hearing in a totally wrong ear. Because the message is good news. It tells you what's available and where you're called to and the doors that are open to pass through. It's not about where you're not. It's about where you're heading. It's about where you're going. So if your mindset's not producing life, it's not on the track of truth. I'm just saying that. So when you cry out for discernment and understanding, what we said yesterday, when you pray that way, a lot of people cry out for understanding motivated by how far away they feel they are. So it's not even a prayer of faith. It's just, God, would you do something with me? My life is so pitiful. I've been in church for years and feel like I don't see a thing. When are you going to open my eyes? You're just going to frustrate yourself praying from that motivation. You don't even have to yell it out like that. You can just mean that when you pray, and it's not healthy. I find people cycle, and then you're praying that way for 2 years, and here's what your resume is. Well, God didn't give me understanding because I've been crying out for 2 years, and I still don't have any understanding. I'm about as blind as I ever was. But your motive, every time you cry, it's from such a negative view. You have weighed yourself so less than who you really are through the Son of God. Here's the cool thing. He didn't just die for our sin, but the sin of the whole world. So whether a man sees it or not, the price is paid, and he's qualified to be a son if he just step in it. Where God's concerned, mercy's already there because the blood's on the mercy seat. You can be right with God in a moment just by changing your heart and mind and saying yes. Not by doing a thing, just saying yes to what's already been done. Right? So why don't we stay that simple? If we're saved that simple, and we try to bring people in that simple and tell them it that simple, why don't we walk out our Christian life that simple? Why does it change? Like Paul said, after they did it way back then in Galatia, why is it that you started in the Spirit, and now you're trying to live this thing in the flesh and reverting back to doing it in the flesh? Why did you start in the Spirit, and now you're living in the flesh? Right? That's what we tend to do. No, don't do that. So when we cry out for discernment and understanding, what we're doing is we're saying, Father, I just thank you. It's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. Holy Spirit, you're amazing in me. You're the Spirit of truth, and you will guide me in all truth. You're my best friend and you love me and you love to love me. See, that's not the way we've prayed for things we know we could grow in. We've only prayed from where we're not instead of where we are and heading. See what I'm saying? So I'm just going to turn you all loose here, and I want to read this, and we're just going to turn you loose in a very personal way. I know Pastor Don opened in a corporate prayer, but in a personal way, I want to give you an opportunity to activate your heart. And then, actually, I think today, you're going to have the privilege. You can enter in along with me on this stuff, depending where you're at. In the comfortability of that, you might want to just take advantage of this opportunity in a minute. Or you can just sit, and I'll just, I feel grace to do this. It felt a little strange to me over the years, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to do this morning. I'm just going to kind of model what I've been saying for a long time about intimacy and communion. I'm just going to kind of enter in and forget you guys are here. Okay? And I'm just going to lock myself in my bedroom and forget you're here. And I'm just going to spend some time with Him. Whatever happens, happens. You'll just have to deal with it. But so you can, you know, but I want to express my heart. I'm going to exchange. And I feel very touched right now by that. Like he wants us to do that. So, but there's a way we're going to do that. I'm going to show you and you'll understand when we get there. And some of that's going to be just to model. Jesus modeled, didn't he? Modeled things. He was an example. So you could get to hear the expression of heart. Not that you try to puppet things, but just so you catch a, just so you get a visual and catch what we're talking about. Does that make sense? And I think you'll be privileged to enter in at some point. You might just want to sit there, close your eyes and listen. Whatever you feel like you want to do will be right. Okay? Because it's all grace. You're not under any pressure. You don't have to do anything. You just be. Okay? So we're going to do that today. And I'm going to be your guinea pig. All right, I'm gonna be your little guinea pig. I'm ready for this. I'm pumped for this. I used to struggle with this stuff. I was like, you know, I would feel like, but the Lord showed me that I go into little bits of it when I'm teaching sometimes, and sometimes I'll go kneel and I'll say, you know, what's that look like, and I'll go into it, and He showed me how much I don't realize that affects people and it helps people. When I'll be teaching on a platform and I'll say, so what does that mean? And I'll slip away and I'll kneel on my knees and just turn my back and I'll start praying to God. That's an example people can grab because they see, they hear, and then they can put a it's like a revelation to knowledge. It's, they can put a picture and an understanding to a phrase that we've been teaching. So I'm just going to do that. We'll see. But watch this. I'm just going to jump into Well, let me just read it through and I won't teach. I'm going to read to verse 11, Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you. Jessa, Lynn, you'll just hook up to this. Read this if you want with us. I taught a lot on this yesterday, okay? So you weren't here, but you'll catch this, okay? And then we're just going to do it. But the main thing I think why I repeat it is probably just for your sake because He loves you. Is when we pray in a minute, it's never about where we're not. It's about where we're growing and heading. So you know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying that for you and reiterating it for everybody here. Don't pray from a negative view. Okay? Don't let your motive be where you're not. When you see joy in somebody's heart, don't say, man, how come I don't have joy? Say, wow, I see that joy is coming from what they believe and see. And God, I thank you that you're continuing to open my heart to see. Or you'll just covet what people have. You'll just feel envious. You'll just actually revert back into a self-centered thing. You'll just be frustrated and mad because you don't think this thing's working for you and it's working for everybody else. That is like a lifeless mentality. Don't go there. And actually, you'll see how that gets chopped out of your life in a minute when we start praying. Because that's where it gets chopped out of your life. Because when you enter into faith and express with your heart you believe, with your mouth you make confession unto salvation. That's Romans 10. With the heart you believe, with the mouth you make confession unto salvation. So what you really believe actually comes out of your heart. And ultimately your... So if you get in conversations with people, not that you're listening for it, but after a while you realize you can find what somebody believes just by talking. What they really believe. You can tell what people really believe if you'd be a little fly on the wall and listen into most people's prayer lives. Because some people like get into areas they don't even need to go. They take 20 minutes just to get past themselves. like make it all about them and what's wrong with them and asking God to love them and have mercy on them, and they start bringing up all this stuff and feel like it's a place of repentance and it's really just a struggling identity that's fault finding, and you feel like you have to muddle through all that because that's all the time. And when you get alone with God, the first thing on your mind is what's wrong with you, and you feel like you have to recite all that before you have a conscience to even pray. And I wouldn't say that's healthy. If it's a sense of conviction and it brings repentance, and the next time you go back to prayer, that's not the issue, that's different.
But it ought to be moved away. It shouldn't be a pattern trying to get through yourself to get to God. He came to you, remember? He came right to you.
Okay? Amen. So let me just read this. I'm not going to stop. You can just follow along. You'll pick up. Grace will cover you on this. My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. Isn't that good? I want you right now, just take a couple minutes. I'll just jump in when I feel like we can. Personally, you don't have to yell loud. You can talk out loud if you want. You can whisper. You can pray in your heart. It doesn't matter to me. Just release faith. Begin in a positive way to thank God for being your Father. That Holy Spirit's here. He's the Spirit of truth. He's guiding you in all truth. That you're not even in this school to get more knowledge. But the Spirit of grace is upon you to give discernment and give understanding. And these things that we're talking are becoming your reality. They're becoming my reality. And Father, I thank you. You're for me. It's your good pleasure to give me every good thing. I want you to begin to do that right now. Just personally, just begin to pray to him. If you end up getting real loud, that's fine. If you stay soft, that's fine. I'm not expecting anything but you to enter in and seek God from your heart. Okay? Go ahead. Just begin to ask God for understanding. Take about 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. I'll see how long we need. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you. I just thank you that you're even teaching us to just seek you, teaching us to just know you and understand you. I thank you. You're moving everything out of our way as a class. That these students, even Lord God, are just seeing you for who you really are so they can see clear who they really are. And Lord God, I thank you that you give understanding. It's your good pleasure to bless us and show us the way. And thank you for the grace that illuminates me and opens my eyes and opens my heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Yeah, you love me. You want to illuminate my heart. So I thank you that I'm seeing more than I've ever seen before. I thank you when circumstances come, when life just affronts me. I thank you. I begin to respond more like you, Jesus, because your wisdom's in me. And Holy Spirit, you're the one that leads me. I yield to you. I am so not at the wheel. You, Lord God, are the one that lives through my life. I'm alive, but it's not me. It's Christ in me. And I thank you. Your mind is my mind and your ways are my ways. And I thank you, Father, for every good thing. Thank you. Thank you for the lights coming on. Thank you for causing all of us to see. Thank you that you're pushing away guilt and condemnation and shame. Thank you that you're pushing away any reason, Lord God, that we couldn't enter in and know you and see your face. Thanks, Father. Thank you, God. Yeah, so good. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. It's good. Some of you are just still in that place. That's good. You know, sometimes when you start to pray for something like that, it can lead into more things and more things and more things. That's your prayer life. Amen. Don't get rigid in your prayer life where you think you're going to God and you're going to pray, well, I'm going to pray for this and then I'm going to shift the gear and pray for this. You'll find that a relationship, it's just a flow. Did you ever notice when you're with a friend in a car and you get talking about something and then it leads to something else and next thing you know, your hearts are both moved for somebody and next thing you know, you're way over here and you weren't even thinking over here. It just went there because you're having fellowship. You see what I mean? I think sometimes we get our lives so rigid with God that we go to God with the intention of, well, we need to pray for this right now and then maybe pray for world peace and then we're going to pray for our relatives and then we're going to maybe... And it's not that there's anything wrong with that, but at what time do we ever grow in fellowship with Him, in relationship with Him? The Bible says fellowship with Holy Spirit, communion with Holy Spirit. That means He's your best friend. And you want Him to grow into your best friend. And there's times you'll just be talking and sharing and exchanging and asking for discernment. And something will get big in your heart. And you just go with it and you begin to pray. Next thing you know, something will, you'll just think over here and you'll find yourself praying. And I've been in prayer times where an hour will go by and I prayed for stuff I haven't even thought about for 2 months. Or prayed for things that weren't even on my mind or never even touched the things I thought I went there to pray for. But the whole time I was in communion with God and I felt like I was being led by Him and my heart became one with Him. And there's just a sense of knowing and a sense of His love in that place. Angelo.
I was just wondering if you could talk about like, hearing His voice a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like it's just me talking.
Yeah. Angelo said about sharing about hearing His voice a little bit. Don't get hung up on hearing the voice of God. And some people struggle so bad with it and they say, man, I don't hear the voice of God. And I just feel like I'm talking to myself or just here's where you're. It's always going to go back to faith. There's times where I'll just lay and muse in my heart and meditate on the scripture that's already in my heart. And I feel like God speaks to me through that sometimes. There's times He'll just talk to me in my spirit in straight English and just straight up talk to me. You say, well, that don't happen to me. Don't get hung up on that. You don't even hear me talk about manifestations in my life and ministrations. I don't even talk about things I feel. I don't talk about a lot of personal stuff because we start making that our barometer. And then we start again weighing, well, those things aren't in my life. I mustn't be close to God. I guess when I get closer to God, I'll start having that. No, it's not like that. There's some people that hear God different. Some people hear through pictures. Some people just read the Word. And the Word, God kind of speaks through His Word in a way where you just see it, know it, and you know God's communing. There's a lot of different ways to hear the voice of God. If I would just say how I hear the voice of God specifically, you would maybe weigh yourself against that and see if that's and try to pursue that for your reality. But there might be a way where you function, where you think, where you see, where your childlikeness, your innocence leads you in such a way where God just speaks to you like a little thought and a whole thing will open up. I know people that'll just, and this happens to me sometimes, but usually God talks to me in straight English in my heart. He just talks to me and I've learned to know it's Him. Like I'll just say, oh my goodness, yeah, that's so you. You're, and He'll do it out of the blue sometimes. Sometimes I'm jogging and He'll say, hey Dan, you know, and He'll just talk to me. And I'm like, yeah, whoa. And people wonder why I'm running so fast. Cause God's talking to me. I'm like, or, you ever see me going down the road like this, barely running? Probably God's talking to me. But usually I get running real fast. One morning He woke me up at 5 and said, right in my spirit, it sounded like you were whispering to me in my ear almost, but it wasn't audible. I can't explain. It was so clear. He said, hey, let's go run together. 5 in the morning. I said, okay. Because He said it. It wasn't like, 5 in the morning? Come on, Lord. I just want to sleep. No. There's so much grace in the relationship. See how I'm getting right now? There's so much. I'm leaping like a hart. I'm leaping like the deer. I have deer's feet today. He said, let's go run together. And I'm like, it's 5 in the morning. I'm doing 15-hour-a-day, 4-day conference. It's 5 in the morning. I'm not even going to bed till 1:32. If you think about that, in the natural, that's a no-go. But Holy Spirit said, hey, let's go run. And I went, okay, whoa. Todd was snoring anyway. Holy Spirit doesn't slumber and I was awake. So I said, since we're both laying here awake because of Him, I'll go with you. No, that's what I told Todd. Todd was like, that's just wrong, dude. That's just wrong. He's like, so you guys just left me alone. You just left me. You guys just went. I said, well, yeah. I said, we came back. You were still snoring.
He said, that's just wrong, dude. That's wrong. And it was so funny.
I ran down that road at 5 a.m. in the pitch dark in a farm, kind of back farm area in Ohio. No street lights, nothing. Pitch dark. Where a dog tried to eat me the day before. Serious. The dog tried to eat me. And I had to speak in the name of Jesus. And he's showing me that he had a good set of teeth. And I'm like, you will not. In Jesus' name. And he was really trying to eat me. If I wasn't a Christian, he'd have ate me. God held him back. I know he did. That dog was going to eat me. So now it's pitch dark and I'm running by that same house in the pitch dark. And the Holy Spirit wants to run. That dog is not eating me. I'll run right down that road. I'm not tempting God. He wants to run. It's the only road I know to run on. I chugged right by that house. Eat your heart out, doggy. I'm with the Holy Ghost. See, I live that way. I believe there ain't no possible way to be afraid. None. Absolutely not. They took me on a road in Alaska when I was at that youth camp, and a dog came out of nowhere and was eating the lady's tires. Like, and I thought he was going to bite through the rubber. And I went, wow, he's just out here, and I'm going to be running by here. Sure is a good thing I'm in covenant. They take me on, and she said, I didn't know the macadam was ending. I said, okay. They're telling me that there was just a bear attack that weekend, and moose and bear attack are the number one casualty of people in Alaska. Moose attack because of calves, and you're running, and you get beat, and the calf's on this side of the road eating, and you don't see it, and the mom's on this side, and you jog between them, and the mama goes, whoa, you're in between my calf, and stomp ya. That's what they do. And bears just get hungry, I guess. Because they're them big brown bears. So she drives me out, and all of a sudden I look, and there's this vertebrae with ribs along the road. And I'm driving her. So I got the dog. I get all these opportunities for fear. Now I got the vertebrae with ribs. I'm like, that's peculiar. I guess somebody dumped that out a year ago, maybe. So he's still going, and now it's brush all along the road, and the road's narrowed down from here to the wall. And it's just solid bushes. And now I look, and now here's a dead animal, dismembered, hair and bones everywhere, right where she's dropped me off. And I said, this doesn't look like an honorable place to die. I said, this has nothing to do with the gospel. I can't die here. She said, do you want to run? Are you okay? Maybe you shouldn't run here. Maybe I should. No, I'll be okay, honey. Drop me off. That's just what I told her. She drops me off. I had to check the carcass out, Dean. I go over there. Here it was a moose. I thought, man, if something's killing a moose. Here's this big moose tore to shreds. And I look, and it was kind of fascinating to me. I'm an outdoors guy. Remember how I said I play with the rattlesnakes, right? I'm there, and I'm like, whoa. There's wolf tracks everywhere. And I'm like, this is, like, amazing. And then I started... Oh, I realized the hide and the carcass where it was all ripped up was drug way up. And as I get up there, here's this big set of brown bear tracks. He drug it up there and must have been sitting with it. And I see these movies and hunting shows where they're laying on it, guarding it. Don't let nothing near. And I started thinking, this might not be the best place to stand right here. And I looked and I was like, I think I'll head back. But you have to understand, fear is a dime a dozen in that place. So when I go by the place where the dog is, if you don't have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit, you are freaked out. But I just know I'm okay. I can't explain that other than I know I'm okay. I ran right by the house, never saw the doggy. And I did see the white doggy, but I never saw the black one that tried to eat the car. So all I'm saying is there's a thing called relationship with Holy Spirit, right? Where you're growing with Him, where you're having intimacy and fellowship with Him, where you're hearing His voice, let's go run together. If He said, let's go run together, everything's cool. I had that in my, I got up at 5, I ran 5 miles, I was back to the hotel in 28 minutes. Because the whole way, He preached a revelation of the blood. The whole way. So those times aren't every day with me. There, people talk like God talks like that every day, and maybe He does with them. But I promise you, if He's talking like that every day, I wouldn't probably share that with everybody unless your life reveals that. because it lessens the impact of him talking to you. Some people say, oh, I this, and all these, they're talking all about their spiritual experiences, and they got issues, offense, hurt, and cycles in their life, and and people look at that and they think, man, if you're in the presence of God all the time, how come you got all them issues? And it does, it confuses people, and it wanes the power of being in his presence. And sometimes you have to be careful with just talking manifestations. You know when somebody's with the Lord. You know by their life when they're walking with him. The reason I don't share my personal experiences too much is because I don't want them to be the barometer. I don't want people to chase after that for their experience. Because here's what I know. If we preach on identity and you start entering in by faith in your bedroom, he'll see you there. He'll meet you there. And then your relationship will be your relationship. And then Angelo will have his own revelation, his own identity, and the way that he hears the voice of God. But it's many ways with me. Sometimes he'll speak one word to me and open up a whole paragraph in a moment. Do you see what I'm saying? It'll just, everything will make sense. Like, I'll just see what he's saying. You see what I mean? Like that time when I said I knelt and he said, why would you be discouraged? That's all he said. And when he said it, I knew exactly what he was saying. I saw the whole picture in a millisecond. You get it? The number one way he speaks to me is through his word. It's the number one way. His word. He speaks to me. What I mean by that is I'll read a scripture, and because I've filled my heart with the word, three other scriptures will just pop off, and all of a sudden the dots are connected. All of a sudden I see what the Lord's saying. I'll read a chapter and all of a sudden my heart will just start to open, and there's things about Jesus' life. There's his word. I so treasure his word like silver. Like that proverb. I treasure his word. Do you get what I'm saying? So he speaks to me, Angelo, mostly through his word. Some people get pictures and visions. It's all ways we hear from God. A whole bunch of ways. He said what a lot of us probably feel sometimes. I feel like I'm just talking. I understand. There's a big time for all of you. I know people say you talk too much. You never let him talk. There's a big time for you to continue to make confession out of your heart and belief and everything you're wanting to believe. It's not a confession sheet, an expression. We're going to do it in a minute. You're going to see what I'm talking about. And the whole time I'm doing that, you're saying, well, God can't speak to you. You know, conversations are two-sided. He has plenty of time to speak to me. He can speak to me any time. But there's a time where I need to establish my heart in truth. There's a time where I might go for 40 minutes and not hardly take a breath. But the whole time I am, I'm releasing faith, and grace is establishing me in that. And I'm making declarations and declaring things and seeing things. And God's actually praying through me. Sometimes I've learned that Holy Spirit's actually the one that's causing me to pray those things. Because when I pray them, I see them. Pray them, I see them. So is he speaking to me in that process? Absolutely, right while I'm talking. Because as I'm praying, I see what I'm saying, and I'm becoming what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, grace is meeting me where faith is. Or you can feel like, man, I'm just talking to the air. I don't feel like God's there. He's absolutely there because he says he is. Period. So don't feel like you're talking to the wall. You're not talking to the wall. See, well, I don't feel any sense of anything. That's all right. Continue in the word. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. When you find a reason to back off, when you find a reason to pull back, or you say, well, I tried that, brother, you're reducing the gospel to a method and a form of function that'll deceive your heart. It's not a method. Faith is a lifestyle. We come to him. Amen? Come on. You have a good friend and you know they're your friend. And you know they're your friend, and you're not at their house, but there's already a revelation that they live there. There's already a revelation that this is their phone number. You call them, and there's nobody there. There's nobody there. It's like when I call Pastor, there's nobody there. You just get his voicemail. But I know he's real, I know he's alive, and I don't lose heart, and I keep calling because I'm gonna get through. Get it? Why? Because a revelation's established that I know who he is. I know.
I really used you, didn't I, on that? It's been my experience at times, but I call back. And every once in a while, I say, well, I left a message and I know he hears me. And guess what? He's faithful and calls me back. You get it? Do you hear the principle there? Don't separate this from our relationships. I've settled. He'll call me back. I know he's heard me. Look, I called 3 times now and I haven't got through. It seems like he didn't hear me, but I know he heard me. And I guess he's just caught up in this or that. Now, I know that's not with God. God's always there. He's not, like I always say, that the one difference between our relationships and me as a pastor, God's never on another line. And if he is, he can still be on yours. You see what I mean? So he's actually on everybody's line. But when you call me or I call pastor, he might be on his line. That's the only difference there. God's door is never locked. It's never knock first. It's never sorry in a meeting. So there's things about our natural relationships you don't compare to God. God's always available. You come boldly into the throne room of grace. But don't struggle with that, okay? It's a good question. Excellent question. Enjoy the ride. Grow up into him in all things. Don't make seeking him a method. If you're saying, I tried that, then you've embraced a mindset that's discouraged you or frustrated you, and you've reduced your relationship to a method of seeking him instead of an expression of heart towards him. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's times he speaks to me. I wish it was all the time where he speaks to me like in such revelation in so clear English, and that's not always. This morning I was driving. I was up early. I took a ride. It was still dark out. I just couldn't sleep. I prayed and I just couldn't sleep. And I went out to the water company and walked. It was still dark when I got out there, and windy, a little bit drops of rain. But I got praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. And I mean, here's a good example, Angelo. As I was, I just so knew I was loved, and I felt so encouraged in my heart to be born again. Here I am saved 15 years and I'm driving down the road praying in tongues, so grateful I'm born again. And I just started to yell, Jesus, so loud as I'm driving. And the presence of God just went out of the blue. Just the tangible, holy presence of God just enveloped me. And I'm just, I love you so much. See, I'm feeling that right now. But that was at 6:30 in the morning. 6 in the morning it was. That's what it was. And it was just an expression of communion. I'm praying in my spirit. I just prayed in the spirit. I was just building myself up. I was aware of Holy Spirit in me. I was just speaking out divine mysteries. I was just praying. I didn't have any interpretation. I was just having fun. Nobody was listening. I didn't have to interpret it. I was just crying out of my spirit. I was just hot. I was loud. And I was like, Jesus, I got pretty like... I started yelling, Jesus. Oh, and I had Misty Edwards in the background with me, rocking, seeking Jesus. So I was like, girl, you are on it. Yeah, we are in the same throne room. It was just good because she was right with me. Somehow she got through the door with me. It was like, actually, it was at that place when I've hit it on and turned it up. And because there was a track there that came on my heart, and I hit it and I turned it up, and it was... I turned it way up, and I got screaming, Jesus, Jesus. See, nobody, you guys weren't there. That's secret time. That's personal. The more you give yourself to that, okay, watch this. It's good that we're here. You give yourself to that more than you give yourself to here. Because that's the only place what we're doing here is real, becomes your reality. That's where you walk it out. That's where it becomes established. Is that fair? Make a strong statement. You can sit here and get tons of information is what it'll be in the long run. Without that place, that's all it'll be. Without that, everything you get here is information. It's knowledge. It'll puff you up. And in the long run, it'll bite you because this whisper will say, yeah, you know all that, but it's not your experience. And there you are in that cycle again. Feeling like, if I didn't get it by now, I ain't gonna. This is your birthright. That thing I just said this morning, whatever that looks like to you, that doesn't mean this. You don't hear me even preach a lot on praying in tongues like that, because then people make it a method. We get into work so quick.
we're like, okay, I got to pray like 10 minutes in tongues every morning. I might not even think of praying in tongues. It might not even rise up in me to pray in tongues in the morning. I might just pray in English and read my Bible and worship Jesus. And every time might look totally different. Do you get what I'm saying? Honestly, when it's like that, I think it's true relationship. Because I'm not under pressure to perform anything. I don't feel like I have to do something to get something. I don't have to pray in tongues for a half hour to get something. I already have it. I'm entering into what I know I already have, and that becomes clearer and brighter. If I end up praying in tongues in the process, great. If I end up just singing a worship song to Him, great. If I end up parking along the road and crying and getting out of my truck and kneeling in a field, great. But none of those things are what's making it happen. I'm doing all those things because of Him. It's just a flow. I'm not doing that to get to Him. I've already got to Him. He's already got to me. You see what I mean? You have to be very careful. I'm very careful not to teach that stuff out in a way where you're going to hear it as works. Because we make stuff works. It's like Christian aerobics or something, or morning exercises. Do you know what I mean? So, and there's a general truth there that you could teach it out in a healthy way, but the tendency of people is to turn it into something they do to get somewhere. Are you okay with what I'm saying there? Do you get what I'm saying there? Because we've been taught so much to do this and pray an hour in tongues and then try English, and it might be good to get on your knees and a half hour prostrate wouldn't hurt your humility life and da 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 da. That's all the spontaneous response of my heart. I was laying on my face one day thinking, you know, I want to honor God. I need to honor God. And I laid on my face prostrate. Nobody was looking. Nobody was even around. I laid on my face. As soon as I got on my face, Holy Spirit said, hey, why don't you just flip over and talk to me? And I bawled and I rolled over on my back and He just loved on me and we just talked. But you know, he didn't, because my heart's so sincere in what I'm telling you, and I've asked Him to father me and lead me and disciple me that way, that if I'm even slipping into something like works, I think He'll slip up. If our hearts are in that place, and it's not about works at all, it's about knowing Him and loving Him, even if my heart's sincere and I feel like I want to honor Him and get prostrate, and it could have any look of works whatsoever, or this is how I'm going to get in deeper or whatever, I think that's right when Holy Spirit will slip up and say, hey, psst. I love you. Why don't you just roll over and talk to me? I flipped right over. I was so humbled by that. That was like the biggest kiss. I was like, God. Just flipped over. Just talk, share. Did very little talking after that. Just knew He loved me. Just laid there quiet. Ministered some things. Gave me some direction and stuff. Actually, the way He works with me, He usually gives me information and answers and directions on things I've been seeking, not what I'm seeking right now, because then I don't know about you, but back in the beginning, I used to have the tendency, is that God or me? And here's how He fathers me. I'll ask questions in the morning or through the day, and about 3 hours later when I'm not even thinking about it, He'll go boom, or just speak to me and answer what I was talking about 3 hours ago. And I know it's not me because I'm not even thinking. Do you get it? That's how He fathers me. Because who's ever been in that? You're seeking direction. You want wisdom. What do I do, God? And then you start getting impressions. And next thing you know, your mind's engaged. And then, is that just my desire? Is that what God's saying? Is that just what I want to do? Is that really God? Is that just me? Who's ever been in that? I think we've all probably been a little bit in that. Right? So a lot of times if I'm in something like that, I'll just, look, You love me. I'm not under pressure. I don't even have to answer that right now. You'll convince my heart because You love me. And I just don't want to live out of my head. I want to live out of my heart. So thank You for fathering me. And I'll release faith that He hears me, that He's answering me, and I won't worry about it. And I'll continue to enjoy the day in Him and grow and flow and do whatever. And out of the blue, usually within that day, out of the blue, bam. When I'm not even thinking that. And you'll know it's God. So that's something too. So don't struggle. I think all I'm saying right now is don't struggle in knowing Him. Because if you're struggling, you're making it some kind of method. It's not a relationship. Do you know what I mean? In fact, when you struggled in your earthly relationships and people, and it didn't seem like it was, that, who's ever struggled in a relationship and then, felt like they drove somebody off or lost their own zeal to pursue that relationship because it didn't seem like it was working? Why would it be any different this way if you start believing that? And then you lose desire, but yet you don't. It's still there. It's a deep ache in your heart. But then a year goes by and you haven't really been seeking him like you were. And you know what I mean? Probably somebody's had that experience and knows what I mean. You see what I'm saying? I know I'm taking slow. I feel like it's, but just bear with me on this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. See, you have to understand in this school, it's not about just teaching and preaching the Bible. I'm talking about, I'm trying to be conscious in my heart to hear Holy Spirit. I've been asking him to break things down and give me a grace to talk about all these little side details that can be stumbling blocks to us. Do you understand why we're doing that? Why I'm taking my time and going so slow in little areas like this? Does that make sense? Because if I just talk to you about fellowship with God, all these little things that keep you from entering in could still be there if they're not exposed. The more they're exposed, the more we give understanding, the better we see, the more we can become what we see. Does that make sense, Ron?
I think a lot of people identify with this. A lot of times I'll want to seek God and get along with God, and I'll try, and my mind goes a million miles off. I can't discipline my mind to stay put on one thing. It just goes in circles.
Okay. Who's that ever happened to? Who's that happened to? Okay. Here's the deal. If there's a song, if your heart's to seek God and that's happened, if there's a song that really touches your heart, that means something to you, that you really like to sing to him, not just a prayer song that you receive, but just a song that gives him honor, might be good to enter into a place like that, pray in the Spirit a little. But what we're going to do right now is the answer to what I've done in my life, because it happens to all of us at some level, at some time. Some people, it seems like it always happens. Who does it seem like it always happens to? Okay. The way to step through that is meditating on the Word. And isn't it amazing? Your question comes right when I'm ready to go there. And this is what the Lord showed me to do today at 4:30 in the morning. He woke me up at 4:30 in the morning and told me to do what we're about to do. And you ask a question, that is the answer. Because what I'm going to say to you when I do this is going to say, some of you that have trouble keeping your mind focused and you feel like this is something and this is what it looks like that'll get your mind locked in. And isn't it cool that I just turned you to 1 Corinthians 30 and he asked that question. That was actually for me. That wasn't even for you. And I already believed I heard God at 4:30, but now I am so sure. I'm like, so affirmation's good for all of us. Who believed already that they heard God, and then it was good to be affirmed that you knew you heard God, even though you knew you were heard God. Like there was 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Did I say 1 Corinthians 30? Did you guys think I had a different Bible? Some of you were like, 30? Where's chapter 30? It ain't even here. You didn't look for 30. Who looked for 30? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Now, I turn to 1 Corinthians 1, and I do this all the time, and then I start preaching out of another chapter. I'm not doing that on purpose, okay? It just happens. I don't know why. Things come in my mind. But Psalms 1 says, if you meditate day and night in the Word, right? You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Talks about bearing fruit in your due season, that your leaf won't wither. Wow. Oh, you're planted by the... So, there's no such thing. There's honestly no such thing as going through a wilderness if he's there. Wow. Everybody's talking about it. I'm going through a wilderness. Well, you're just got the same eye the Hebrews had. And you're dying there like they did. Jesus went through a wilderness and came out with the Spirit and power. He went through selfless. They went through selfish. We know that. But the bottom line is he's there. And he's our Father. There's no such thing as a wilderness. You're in the world and not of it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That Psalms 23 is not a psalm to read just at a funeral. That's a shallow interpretation. That's actually a psalm for the Christian when he gets born again. Because the earth is cursed in the sense that it has a time limit on it. Cursed in the sense that it's suffering from the fall of man until it's rolled up like a garment and burned with fire. There won't be a new heaven or earth. So this earth as you know it is going to be totally removed. So you're walking in the shadow of the valley of death, of a place where revelation will come to pass, an earth that's going to be rolled up like a garment and burned with fire. Did you get that?
Yes.
So you're walking, but you're not fearing evil. Darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people, but the light's upon you. Think of Psalms 23. And in that place, walking in the valley of the shadow of death, it just seems like death is impending and waiting to come. It just seems like catastrophe is lingering all the time. There's just always... The Bible actually says that there's things that are going to happen. God's going to come. And it says that people in Revelations that aren't prepared, that don't understand, it says that it's going to be a day of darkness. And gloom, because there's no hope when you're apart from Him. And they're going to cry out for rocks and trees to fall on them. They're going to seek to hide in a cave, lest they have to face Him being apart from Him. I mean, that's serious thought. So there's no such thing as a wilderness when God's there. The closer you are to God, and the more you walk with Him, the more you'll see life for what it really is. You'll see life as a headache without knowing Him. You'll see the people you work with as a pain in the wherever. Wherever. Just pick a holy, sanctified place. The neck. The next time one of you say, pray for my neck, it hurts, I'll say, see your coworker, Claire. No. No, I won't. How do you see your coworker? I see my coworker's a pain in the butt. It's my neck that hurts. Pray for my neck. My butt's fine. No. I don't know where we're going. Help. 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 Serious. If God's there, if you're in relationship with Him, your perspective on life is crystal clear. If God's there, how can it be a wilderness? Were they in trouble in the wilderness? Did they ever have a reason to complain? In reality, were they ever going to die? But because they failed to see the truth, they died. But they weren't ever to die. They didn't have to die. They died because they didn't see truth. That's powerful. It's never a wilderness. Please don't get trapped and say, man, I'm in such a wilderness. I told somebody recently, I said, it must be the Israelites' wilderness. Because it's not producing life. You're getting your eyes on yourself and how these circumstances are affecting you instead of manifesting God. See, if the circumstances are manifesting God, your eyes aren't on you and you don't even see wilderness. You're actually manifesting God in the midst of trial. That's all it is. If you turn inward and get your eyes on you and how life's affecting you, you'll just say you're in a wilderness your whole life. We're in the valley of the shadow of death. We're in the world. We're not of it, guys. God's there. God's there. Okay? Do you see why we spend so much time in knowing Him? To know Him is eternal life. Not to pray a prayer. To know Him. Knowing Him. When your mind... I got on all that because I quoted Psalms 1. And then we went to 23. If you meditate day and night in the Word, you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You're not hanging out and running with the mindset of the sinful man. You're not living in the wisdom of the world. You're camping out in truth. It's the Word of God. You don't need opinions, guys. You don't need your friend to tell you what they think. You don't need a piece of someone's mind. all, you know, well, let me give you my opinion. Well, I'd like to give you some advice on that, brother. Man, if, you know, I don't even like that whole advice thing. I'd like to give you the word on this. I believe this is the heart of God because I see it in Jesus' life. And I'll share it not to be right in somebody's life. I have no need to give you advice. I don't even want to. Do you know what I mean? He's the spirit of counsel. I don't want to give you a piece of my mind. I want to give you his. Do you know what I mean? Well, this is what I think. Well, brother, this is what I think. You have to be careful with that stuff. Well, this is what I think. I think you ought to, because a lot of people, what they think has been derived through what they've been through, and they've come up with an analogy to back up and comfort their misunderstood mind through whatever, and sometimes the interpretation of Scripture is nothing more than through the eye of how life has been. You have to be very careful in the church. Sometimes people call me, pastor could attest to this, do they ever call you and you're about the fourth in line? You're about the fourth in line and they tell you what everybody's been telling them in the church. Sometimes they make the mistake of telling you who they called. Because I don't even want to know that stuff. Because then you have to work that out of your soul. You know, be very careful to not just say, hey, so-and-so this and so-and-so that.
It's kind of cool because a lot of times they'll tell me, yeah, that's what Pastor Dan said.
Now we're on a good page right there because we're saying the same thing. But see, people will call and then they'll call somebody else and call somebody else and call somebody else. And you're feeling and groping and for stuff. But you have to be very careful your motive in that because you might grab what you want to hear. You might grab what you need to hear for your own flesh. You might grab the thing that's just easier to yield to and respond to. And isn't it amazing how you can call four people and get four totally different responses? Don't take offense in this. I don't even want to put you in this position. There's only a few people in my life, if I needed to call for something, that I would even call anyway. I'm seeking God. If I need to get something clarified, I'm seeking God. I'm not beyond counsel. I'm not beyond you cheering me on and affirming something, but I'm not just gonna just put you in the position to say, hey, what do you think? This and this and this. I wouldn't even do that. I want to know in God, is there somebody I should call, because there might be somebody that knows exactly where I'm at and and he just might want them to speak into my life. But I'm not just going to randomly just start reaching out and asking, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I don't think that's a good thing. It hasn't been a healthy experience in my life for people. And yeah, like I had somebody the other day, they went to a church. And the pastor, it doesn't matter where, and none of you will discern where because you don't need to know and God won't let you know. But this guy goes to a church and the pastor, he's talking to the pastor. When he left, the pastor said to the guy's friend who invited him to his church, he said, boy, your friend's really arrogant. The friend went back and told the guy, well, my pastor said you were arrogant. And he also said he has a discerning of spirits and you're carrying this and this and such a spirit. And the friend that told me this said, you know, my heart grieves over that because I know my heart. It wasn't about arrogant. I just encouraged him in a thought in the scripture. He just took it as arrogant. I asked the Lord, is there any way I was arrogant? But here's my point. It's not about debating was he or wasn't he arrogant. Is he in denial? Whatever. The pastor telling a congregation member, is this like a Christian telling a Christian? Boy, they're really arrogant. And putting that in her soul, right? And then saying, in fact, you know how I see things, Gene? Yeah. Well, this is what I saw over them. Really? Well, how's that help them? That just marks them and puts us on some spiritual trip at their expense. So if you saw something over them, cast the thing off of them. Deal with it. Love them enough to pull them aside and yeah. Do something. Don't just go tell four people what you saw over somebody. Because now they have to deal with that knowledge. And every time they hear their name, they have to struggle with how they see that person.
And then we wonder where God's power is and why we're not growing more. And we give ourselves to this stuff as if it's just common every day the way it is. Man, you run from that stuff. That stuff doesn't fly with me. You don't want to be doing that. And that's a pastor who people are respecting. God forbid that I walk up to Phyllis and say, man, Phyllis, your girlfriend, that girl you brought to church, man, she needs to get a revelation. She's got some serious issues. I mean, she's got a lot of pride in her heart. In fact, I saw a demonic spirit hovering over her. If Phyllis respects me and Phyllis thinks I'm a man of God, she's going, what? Oh my God. And she has a relationship with the person. That's not, I'm not saying I saw an evil spirit over. I'm not going to tell you that. To put that in, and then now you're, and then she, Phyllis, why have you been acting so weird lately? Last 3 times we went to breakfast, you're just looking at me strange and mumbling. What are you doing? Nothing. Come on right now. Come on. Now you can't even be a friend with a clear conscience because of what I put in you. I just promise you, if I thought I saw something like that over your life, out of love for you, I would pull you so far away from the rest of the world. And I would love on you and talk to you and I'd encourage you in some thoughts and I would weigh that out. I wouldn't even tell you what I saw. I would weigh that out and just minister and talk and see where it goes. I wouldn't make much of that. And if I didn't have the authority or anointing to see that thing delivered in your life, God forbid that just become your story and then you have need to. See, we have to be careful with this stuff and counsel and quick peace of mind. And this is what I think, behind the scenes stuff. Because a lot of this, guys, we're doing because we're drawing some false sense of identity and value out of it. It's making us feel spiritual at the cost of things. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Now watch this. Now I know you're here in this school because you guys obviously respect my life and my heart. You don't hear me talking a whole lot about spiritual things in my life personally, manifestations, visions, things I see on people. You don't hear me talking about my personal spiritual experiences, do you? Hardly ever. But yet you're at this school because you must see something that makes you feel like I have those things. See, it's not about those things and how they look in my life. It's the foundation that those things flow from that we're all hungry after, right? So by me not doing that, it reveals that there's a security in that I'm equipped, qualified, and I'm in Him. I don't have to bear witness of that. Paul said, it's not ourselves we preach. It's Christ. Do you get it? You all good? We're going to read this after we take a break. Bless you. Take a break.